Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Thursday, November 24th, 2022, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we're on page 44, the third paragraph, but it isn't so difficult, ending, "You need not be disconcerted." Reading and commenting on this one paragraph only today. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Deb E., 12 Traditions, Mary P., Reader of the Text, Penny L. C., Becca R. will read page 164, and our backup reader is Dana P. The reference number for Wednesday, November 23rd, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 19,670. That's 19,670. And for this morning, Thursday, November 24th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 19,672. That's 19,672. Our newcomer greeter this morning will be Lois P. and Janice PM will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states, "Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers." At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Deb E. to read the 12 steps. Star 1, Deb E.
My apologies. I am Debbie, a compulsive overeater in Montana, and these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Thought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And I am thankful for the opportunity to do service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Deb E. I'll now ask Mary P. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is Mary P. from Texas, and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional. Our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service this morning, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Mary P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share in what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 44, the third paragraph, but it isn't so difficult, ending, "You need not be disconcerted." Reading and commenting on this one paragraph only today. I will now ask Penny L.C. to read and share with us.
Thank you, Dawn. Good morning, and happy Thanksgiving, and good morning to everyone on the line and to all those that celebrate this holiday. So much to be grateful for. I am Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. But it isn't so difficult. About half our original fellowship were of exactly that type. At first, some of us tried to avoid the issue, hoping against hope we were not true alcoholics. But after a while, we had to face the fact that we must find a spiritual basis of life, or else. Perhaps it is going to be that way with you, but cheer up. Something like half of us thought we were atheists or agnostics. Our experience shows us you need not be disconcerted. And just to mention, disconcerted, when I look at the definition, it does say upset for context. But when I reflect on this paragraph and reflect on my experience, I had to ask myself, was I agnostic? Of course not. I didn't think I was. I had believed in a higher power all of my life. In fact, when I first came to program, I was sure I didn't even need to read this chapter. I was all prepared to just skip right over it and get to the solution. However, the truth of the matter wasn't I agnostic? You know, I was believing, but I was acting as if there was no higher power, because I never went to my higher power. I never relied on my higher power. I never asked for help from my higher power. I never trusted the higher power of my understanding with anything in my life. My truth was that I was not acknowledging this higher power. My truth was I was not living on a spiritual basis. I was living on the basis of my will and my ego, being driven by self-centered fear. When it finally got through to me that I needed to make some changes, when I finally chose to surrender, was when I could truly look at my need for a new outlook, a new higher power that I could relate to, a willingness to allow my higher power to be my guide. So I did have to go and find the God of my understanding that would work for me. And that was part of my journey. But then also too, it reminds me when I read the or else. Oh gosh, what is the or else? Well, for me, it was that my overeating would continue to be silently killing me. And in the meantime, I would continue to operate on self-centered fear. I would continue to be full of resentment and distorted thinking and dysfunction. I would continue to exist in pain and misery. The good news is, as I read the rest of the chapter, I will actually learn and relearn over 25 reasons to believe. And today I am grateful that I can accept the words in this chapter and not have to question them, and realize that the higher power of my understanding works for me and has brought me to a new living, a living on a spiritual basis, a living in freedom and joy. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Penny LC, for getting us started. I'm now going to open up the lines to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Katie F.
Julie R.
Wendy.
Julie R.
Wendy B.
Katie F.
Rod
Julie
G.
R. Okay, hold on. Wendy B. Okay, I
Jody
have Katie
E.
F.
Roz G.
I have Katie F., Julie R., Wendy B.,
Bruce E.
Bruce E., and who was before Bruce?
Deb E.
Deb E. And who else?
I wasn't
already
before Bruce.
Okay, who else said their name already?
Roz, did you get Roz G.?
I did not, Roz G. I do now, though. Okay, I have Katie F., sure. Katie F., Julie R., Wendy B., Bruce E., Deb E., and Roz G. Who did I miss?
Jody E.
Eileen P.
Jody E. and Eileen P. Very good. Let's go with that. Fantastic lineup. Katie F., please get us started, followed by Julie R.
Good morning. This is Katie F., a recovered compulsive overeater in Virginia. And, you know, I was one of those that we hear so much about that thought I could just skip this chapter because I was raised in a Christian home and I went to church and I thought that, you know, I believed. And so why would I need this chapter? But then as I learned, you know, I was not living on a spiritual basis, like this paragraph says, but after a while, we had to face the fact that we must find a spiritual basis of life or else. And I was living in the or else. I was wanting to kill myself. I was wanting to drive off the road. And so obviously, my relationship with God was not working. And agnostic, I've heard, means without knowledge. And my lack of knowledge was that God would actually be there for me with my compulsive overeating. And that is what had to change for me, was to believe that God really cared about my food issue. And once I accepted that and really started to surrender my life to him, things have changed. I've not had to pick up the food for a very long time, but I find, and I have to keep coming back to this chapter, you know, I'm so grateful that for this meeting that we just keep, you know, going back through the book, because I can see that there's other areas of my life that I am acting agnostic. I'm acting like I don't think God is there. I don't think he's there with my adult children. I don't think he's there with my job that can drive me crazy. I don't think he's there with, you know, whatever is going on in my life. I think that I'm supposed to take the reins back. And I'm never supposed to take the reins back. You know, that's what this program teaches me, that I can surrender absolutely everything to my higher power and he will be there for me. I am the one who limits God. I'm the one who makes God so small and try to shove him in a box of my own making. And once I surrender and get the knowledge of how big God is, you know, everything just falls away. I'm in awe and I feel very small and don't worry about all these little details in my life. And I'm so grateful. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Katie F. Julie R., please share with us, followed by Wendy B.
Hi, thanks. Julie R., recovered compulsive overeater. And, you know, the first thing, coping against hope, you know, it's like I thought I could do things my way. You know, I get so many things done in other areas of my life, but it's like the food was just, I thought, was the big deal in my life. But, you know, the next paragraph where it says, we must find a spiritual basis of life or else. Yeah, God willing, I'll have 3 years next month, but it's like, or else, what is my basis of my spiritual life? It's like not reacting to things. It's when my adult children come for a week for the holidays, it's loving on them and not looking at the clothes that they put down on the floor and leave it. And I love that, you know, we don't have to have the same God. It doesn't say I have to have a certain God or I have to have certain beliefs, because I have totally different beliefs than my sponsees, than my sponsor. But having a belief in my creator that I find, because me being a Native American, it's like I can find so much joy in things. It's like before Thanksgiving was just not a good holiday. I mean, it was great to be with family, but the real meaning for me, and I would let everybody know, oh, you mean Native American Slaughter Day and things like that. But today I don't have to do that. Today I just embrace that we all get together and have peace. How did that happen? By having a faith in a creator, by a creator showing me how to have love and tolerance, how to be free. You know, once the food is down, that is the real work. Because abstinence is abstinence, but it's being kind, caring, giving, tolerant. When I just tripped over my son's shoes because he got in at 3 a.m. when I was heading for the turkey, you know, and I had laughed. I didn't have to wake him up and say, oh, my God, what you did. It's like it just comes automatically by having this faith, trust, and a power that's greater than me. Yeah, the weight loss is great. Of course it is. The freedom from compulsive overeating. But it's how am I acting today? And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Julie R. Wendy B., please share with us, and then followed by Bruce E.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And I was struck, too, by the or else line. And they explain in the previous paragraph, you know, that the or else is they'll be doomed to an alcoholic death, you know, if they don't choose to live on a spiritual basis. And and there's a solution that says we are in a position where if we became, life was becoming impossible, and if we had passed into the region from which there is no return through human aid, we had but two alternatives. One was to go on to the bitter end, blotting out our consciousness or, you know, of our intolerable situation as best we could. And the other is to accept spiritual help. And So we're finally beaten into a state of reasonableness. You know, we get to the point where, you know, life and our disease becomes intolerable. You know, the consequences were piling up, and our substance no longer gave us the relief, you know, that we sought. You know, we were forced to come out of our denial and admit we had a problem. You know, our addictive substances no longer gave us the ease and comfort, you know, the escape that we craved. You know, we tried blotting out our consciousness, but it stopped working. You know, we came face to face with, you know, our intolerable situation. And we saw all around us fellows who got spiritual help, you know, power from their God. And, you know, we had to face the fact that we were ruining our lives running our lives into the ground, you know, doing damage to all those around us, you know, living this way, you know. And, you know, there was just no more happiness or satisfaction to be found in our substances. And, you know, so the door opened a crack, you know, and we opened our mind to the idea of a loving God, you know, who wants to help us, you know, and we saw it working for other people. You know, we became desperate, and it seemed worth a try, you know, to set aside our pride, you know, that wants to be our own God, and to humble ourselves before our Creator, you know, to be open to the idea that, you know, He has a better plan. And, you know, and then miracles happen, you know, He reveals Himself to us. We see our life through His loving eyes, you know, we see clearly the damage we did to others, and we're humbled, you know, by His awesome presence. And we feel loved and accepted. You know, we get a new start. We get to live life on a new basis. And I just love this chapter. And thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Wendy B. from Arizona. Bruce E., please share with us, followed by Deb E.
All right. Thank you. Thanks, everybody. And appreciate being able to be on the line today and to share. And to enjoy Thanksgiving today without having to, you know, eat three or four plates of all of this stuff. And I can limit it now and be on a food plan and be abstinent. So, and I'm grateful for that. And but it isn't so difficult, it says here. So live on a spiritual basis isn't so difficult. It isn't. God doesn't make things too hard for me. He doesn't make things too hard for anybody, I don't think. And I make it difficult, you know. I've been in kind of a state of depression yesterday and today about my home, losing my home and losing the use of my home down here in Southwest Florida. But, you know, God didn't make it too difficult. You know, he's really providing for me really well. And says about half our original fellowship were exactly that type. Well, I was that type, you know, atheist agnostic. Now, every time I go back into fear, resentment, and all that, I become an atheist agnostic all over again. Start working an atheist agnostic program and a spiritual program. And so about half the original. So I was an atheist all my life until 38 years old and had a change of heart and mind at that point, change of spirit. And now I'm not. But I go back into it real easy, you know. Even the depression that I had was, wonder if that wasn't part of just becoming, you know, going back into being an atheist or agnostic. At first, some of us try to avoid the issue, hoping against hope we were not true alcoholics. Well, you know, I do hope that, you know, I have done that a lot, hoping that I wasn't a true food addict. But I am a food addict, and I'm recovered now, but I am a food addict still, you know. So an orange is an orange, right? So I don't get over that, but I can stay recovered as long as I keep working a spiritual program. Find a spiritual basis of life or else, it says. Yeah, that's true. And then it goes on and says again, something like half of us thought we were atheists or agnostics. So I'm very grateful today. I get to go over to my daughter's house today. I remember a time in my life and her life where I was very mad at her, very upset with her. I'm not at all now. And she's doing good. Thank you. She's doing good. Has two little babies that get to go over and see, two little twin babies and two other kids, and spend a day with them. Have a good abstinent day. So, yeah, thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Bruce E. from Florida. Deb E., followed by Roz G.
Hi, thanks, Dawn. This is Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. And I keep fighting, like, mentioning this. My head keeps popping back. I have a story of the Lorax in my mind where it says, unless, you know, unless people make big changes. And that's what this paragraph is making me think of, this or else. Like, it was, for me, the dilemma I was presented with when I came to OA was, well, not really a dilemma. I mean, I was desperate for help, but it was really, the choice was to be like, was I going to surrender and turn my life over to a higher power, or was I just going to keep going the way I was going? And thankfully, it was intolerable to me to continue going the way I was, so I was open to something different, you know? And for a long time, I thought this chapter didn't apply to me because I never had a problem believing that there was a higher power. But I did have an issue, not so much an issue, I just didn't believe that a higher power would help me with food issues. You know, I thought, I didn't grow up in a religious way at all. I didn't grow up with any spirituality, really. And so my perception of what a higher power was that it was just kind of around for religious people, and that was it. So I kind of wasn't privy to that help or access to any of that power. And today I live in such a different way, you know, like I was dealing with something that I found stressful about work earlier this afternoon. And something that probably like the average person wouldn't even like give a second thought. But for me, it was like, it made me anxious, it made me stressful. And then I did what I do, like, and sometimes I forget to do this, and it doesn't work out well when I forget. But I said, I was like, higher power, like, what do I do here? I don't know how to handle this. Like, show me the way, you know? And within a few minutes, I was feeling more relaxed than I was aware of it. I was like, oh, that's strange. I don't feel as anxious anymore. I hadn't really put the two together, even though this is not a new thing for me. But I think on one level, like, I'm always kind of surprised that it works. Like, that the help is there. And it's, you know, for me, like the biggest change is from before OA to now is a spiritual life. You know, like I lived nothing of a spiritual life. I feel like my intuition was screaming and calling out to me and begging me to listen for years. And I, you know, I was very intuitive before even starting this program, but I would just ignore it. You know, and now I've learned how to listen to it and how to seek it out as well.
Good
timing. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Deb E. from Israel. Roz G., please share with us, followed by Jody E.
Okay, great. Good morning. And thank you. My name's Roz G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I have appreciated the shares so much. The first thing I want to say is I too, you know, I have, it's a little off topic. I'll leave it very brief, a little off topic. I have Native American background too. And I don't have to spew out my hatred on things that are non-conference approved or, you know, outside issues anywhere, because I have, I live with a forgiven heart, forgiveness, and I'm grateful every day. And I'm grateful that we have a holiday in our country where we can set apart aside to be grateful. You know, it happens every day. So back to the topic. Or else, I can find a spiritual basis of life, or else. I can take that into the table today. Am I going to reach for God and a spiritual life, or am I going to reach for inappropriate alcoholic foods? And the or else is the guilt and the shame and the remorse and the digestive problems and the clouded mind and the hangover in the morning. That's what or else is, and so many other things. But a spiritual basis of life is I get to go and be grateful for my family, for my 83-year-old mom, my 83-year-old dad. They're separated, but I mean, I'm grateful that my parents are still here on the earth. Grateful for that. I get to be grateful that I no longer live in jealousy, envy, pride, ego. I don't have to live like that. I get to bring a beautiful salad and stuff that I've grown out of with my very own hands from my garden that God grew, but you know, that I worked along with God with to make a beautiful salad and contribute to the table and look in everybody's eyes and smile and just be a giver. What can I bring to this situation rather than what can I get out of it? That's a spiritual life. And thank you, God, for this program, because this is a level of maturity that I have never experienced. And going to my sister's house today, she's the one I've been jealous of my entire life, envy, jealousy, living on all of that towards her. And I've made a list of how I'm grateful to my sister. I'm grateful that she's the eldest in the family, that she's wise, that she's taught me so many things, and that she has a happy married life, and that she's retired, and that she can go and spend her retirement in joy. That's time. Maturity. Thank you. That's gratitude. Thank you. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Roz G. Jody E., please share with us, followed by Eileen P. And before Jody shares, I'd just like to mention, if you're just joining us, we're on page 44, the third paragraph, but it isn't so difficult ending, you need not be disconcerted. And we're commenting on that one paragraph today. Jody E., please share with us.
Thank you so much, Dawn. Good morning, everyone. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered on Thanksgiving Day in California. How wonderful it is to be in this book that saved my life today on Thanksgiving. A spiritual basis of life does not require that I believe even in God, quote unquote, God. I can be an agnostic. I can be an atheist even, and still have a spiritual basis of life. To be spiritual does not mean to be religious. There is a big difference. Religion usually tells us exactly how to believe. A spiritual way of life is simply a spiritual way of life, which means realizing that I am one among many, and I am no better and no worse, and that I'm connected to the whole. So it behooves me to be good to others, to be kind, to be loving, to be tolerant, to be accepting, to be grateful. These attitudes, these spiritual attitudes, help me and they help others. And by helping others, I help myself, and I can live in peace and harmony and happiness and serenity. So there's nothing in the spiritual basis of life that requires that I believe in quote-unquote God. So it really isn't so difficult, and we need not be disconcerted when we see the word God even in the 12 steps. Because it does turn some people away. My conception of a higher power is all that is needed. And even if I don't have much of a conception when I start, if I work these 12 steps abstinently to the best of my ability, chances are I will come to have some kind of conception through this process. So we beg of you to be thorough and fearless from the very start, and to follow our example. It has worked for us, and it will for you too. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Jody E. Eileen P. will now share with us, and then I'm going to be opening up the lines to take more names. Go ahead, Eileen.
Hi, this is Eileen from Minnesota. Can I be heard?
You sure can.
Awesome. I was an agnostic. I grew up in a religious home, and then I was briefly agnostic, or I said I was. And then I came into an active relationship with God when I was 19, but I didn't come into these rooms until I was 30-something. And I'm 55 now, so it's been about 20 years. And I just want to comment on, you know, I intellectually assented to there being a God, but food was my real God. If you really think about it, I mean, as an addict, I would use food to comfort myself. I would make decisions based on food. I would wake up in the morning thinking about food. I would think about food all day long. So that kind of sounds like no matter what I was saying, you know, in church or like whatever I was reading and saying, boy, I'm just following God now. I'm in college and I'm all excited about this. That doesn't matter if food is my actual God. So I don't even know if there are any real agnostics or atheists, because you're always kind of following something, right? I mean, I won't speak for anyone else, but I think food was my real God for so long, you guys. And so in this program, I'm learning to ask my higher power every morning, how can I help my fellows or whatever, and just really learning. I'm not intellectually assenting to God. I want to ask God and hear from God, and God speaks to me through all of you and through my sponsor and through other people and through books and all those things. And the food is quiet when I'm abstinent and working the steps. So I am just so grateful to be recovering and learning what real gratitude is to my higher power. Let that all pass.
Thank you so much, Eileen P. And I'll now be opening up the lines to take the names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share? We're on page 44, the third paragraph, but it isn't so difficult. Who would like to share in that paragraph?
Mary C.
Mary C. And who did I? Who else said their name?
Cheryl.
Cheryl F.
Darian K.
Darian K. And one more.
Beth V.
Beth
from Pennsylvania.
V.
Thank you.
Okay, very good. Thank you so much. Okay, Mary C., please get us started, followed by Cheryl S., then we'll have Darian K. and Beth V. Mary C., please go ahead.
Hi, I'm Mary C., compulsive recovering overeater and from Ohio. And this is my first Thanksgiving in OA. So I'm a little nervous, but I have God with me this Thanksgiving, and I don't think he's been with me for the past many, many years. I've always believed in God, and I had a relationship with God, but unfortunately it was only one way. It was me to God, and I told God what to do. So now it has totally changed. It's now a two-way relationship with God. I have now a personal relationship with God, and I ask God for direction each and every day. And I know today God will protect me. And actually, what popped in my mind this morning, I just got my six-month coin from OA, and I'm going to keep it in my pocket at the dinner. And anytime I have an urge, I'm just going to reach in my pocket and touch that coin, and that will remind me. So to not overeat and to eat any of my red foods. So for this, I am so grateful, and I am so grateful for OA and the program and God now being in my life. And with that, I pass. Thank you very much, and happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Mary C. Happy Thanksgiving to you. Cheryl S., please share with us, followed by Darian K.
Thank you. This is Cheryl S., recovering in Nevada.
And what I was thinking about with this paragraph is, what is my or else? And my or else is that the buck stops with me. And that means that any issues that I have in my life, any problems that I have in my life, it's only up to me to solve them. And the one thing I know for sure is that I cannot solve the problems that I have, especially the problems that involve other people, places, and things, because that's beyond my control. So if it's just up to me, what happens? What happens when I beat my head against the wall and try and solve my kids' problems and try and change my husband and try and fix the people at the bank or at the grocery store? And what happens is my emotions just start taking over and they build up inside of me. And I get to the point where I have no other choice. I have to seek relief. And where do I seek that relief? I seek it in food. I seek it in other substances. But I have an or else. And the or else is I can seek that relief in my higher power. And my higher power has the power to help my children, to change me, to make changes in my husband if changes need to be made, to bring peace and comfort to the people at the bank and the grocery store. I don't have to do it. I can't do it. And I read something this morning that was like, where did I get the idea that, you know, God needs my help for him to do his work? You know, I don't have to scheme. I don't have to plot. I don't have to plan, even with good intentions, to help God do his will. I just have to believe that his will be done and that his will is perfect. And I decided last night, I've been thinking about, I'm cooking Thanksgiving. What am I going to do? How am I going to, you know, timing, how am I going to eat it? You know, what parts are going to be for me? What parts aren't going to be for me? And finally, God just said to me, just eat your regular food plan and you'll be fine. Nobody cares. And then you can enjoy your family, your friends, you know, your brother that came from out of town and his wife, your son that just got married that came from Colorado. It's going to be a beautiful day. Just count on me. And I am so thankful and I'm so grateful. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Cheryl S. Darian K., please share with us, followed by Beth V.
Oh, good morning. This is Darian K. I'm in the Berkshires in Massachusetts. So grateful to be on the line with all of you this morning. Oh, and happy Thanksgiving. So this is my 36th Thanksgiving in this program, abstinent and grateful. And because I came in September 1986, so I had all the holidays ahead of me. in that beginning, it was like, oh my gosh, how am I going to get through this one and that one? And, but God just carried me and I connected with fellows and had a plan and, learned that I needed to be there for the people in this program and the people in my life, the family, and that it was not about the food. Imagine that. It was about gratitude and being with the people that you love and care about and being thankful for food in general, and a warm home and, just the little things that we take for granted a lot of times. That's where I come from. And I also, I'm really grateful that this program this holiday can be simple. It can be really simple. We can really get what we need. Because, it can have all the things that we can eat for the most part and we can make a good choice. I'm just so grateful for that. In regard to higher power, I had one in my life, but it's sort of, I don't know, it wasn't really like a working higher power. You know, I was bat mitzvahed at 13, and that was sort of the end of my religious situation, and everything else was like, what food is going to be served at certain holidays. Like, that was that was the religion I grew up on as time went on. And, you know, it's not that today. Like people had said, there's such a difference between a religious God and a spiritual belief. And I really feel like my God is in my heart, that I ask for help every day to be abstinent and to be at peace and to guide me, you know, and show me what he'll have me do and be of service to others. And I'm just so grateful to have that, you know, willingness and ability to do those things today. Because without this program, you know, I have a lot of yes. I didn't eat in between very much when I was before program. I didn't eat in the middle of the night. I didn't really eat the way I wanted to. But it could have been much heavier, much more miserable. If I ever went back out to the food. Thank you. And so I, you know, I have a healthy fear of those things. And I'm just so grateful for today that I have, you know, a plan and that I am grateful for it. So thank you. And I'll pass.
Thank you. Darian K. from Massachusetts. Beth V., we have time for about a 2-minute share.
Okay. I'll try to do that. Good morning, everyone. My name is Beth V. Gratefully recovered today, just for today in Pennsylvania. I love that it says it isn't so difficult. I first had to face the fact about myself that I must, it says must, find a spiritual power that is greater than myself. And it doesn't say this, but I have to work on that relationship every day or else. And that is a warning about what will happen if this fact of something spiritual is not carried out. And it's a warning. And if I don't do this discipline and this direction that is clearly stated here, I can expect to have some harm or punishment come to me. And I know exactly what that harm would be, you know, overeating and being sick. So I love it says, cheer up, the people before me in program and all the voices on the line I've heard assure me that this aspect does not need to be disconcerting to me. And that means don't get upset about it. Just go with it, you know, just do it. And I really love that finding a power and practicing to connect any way that I can, any way that I wish, is not going to be this great big problem. It's just the flow. And putting down all my reservations and opening my mind, heart, and soul to this program, which is what I've done. I read the set-aside prayer. And that's all I have. Thank you so much. Thank you all. And I'll pass.
Thank you, Beth V. And we're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Becca R. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then.
Hi, I'm Becca. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater calling from Kentucky. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great sign for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.